Hey, we're live from STS Studios in St. Louis, Missouri for Was It Really That Good? And my co-host, he's back, my co-host, Gene Jackson. Where the hell you at tonight, Gene?
I'm right here in the home studio, the Jackson Inn and Cat Suites, as it says on Facebook when my wife posts things, right here in beautiful Cullman, Alabama.
Right on. Well, I'm 6 weeks from being in, it'll be live from Jonesboro, Arkansas. So I'm kind of excited about going back home. 6 more weeks in St. Louis, and then we're moving all the studio there. Let's get started tonight. And when I first sent this to you, I was wondering if we're going to get 30 minutes out of this or not. If we don't, guys, I'm sorry, but then I've picked up a lot of information about some of these guys, so we might get 30 minutes in. So let's talk about it. It's November the 22nd. It's 1980, so you're looking at, I was 14 years old. I just turned 14, so I've never seen any of this Portland wrestling during that time.
I was 3.
Well, the funny thing is you trade. See, I traded. I was a big tape trader. And never, none of this stuff I had ever watched. I thought it was funny as a commercial comes on, you know, you get Tom Peterson. I don't know if you ever watched Portland Wrestling, but during any time that Portland Wrestling was on, Tom Peterson was the sponsor.
Yeah, I don't watch too much stuff that's older than about probably 84, 85 in most cases. But I had watched some random, I'd gotten like in the trading, like you mentioned, I had gotten some different Portland, comps. And so I'd watched like, Best of Scotty the Body. Of course, Scott Levy went on to be Raven. And I'd seen the big Billy Jack Haynes heel turn from around 91. And so I saw some later 80 stuff, some stuff with the Grappler. But, yeah, this was a little before anything I had seen. But, yeah, Tom Peterson is all over this thing for sure.
Well, you know, during the time you're talking about with Raven was there, there was always these big rumors that the reason all those guys worked in Portland that they had the best rats. I'm serious. That was it. They were, like, not getting paid a lot of money, but they had these rats that were taking care of them in every town. Like, you could spend the night at someone's house and, you know, feed you in the whole nine yards. Not just sex, but the whole nine yards. Now, this is rumor, so I don't know if that's true. Our announcer I'd never seen before. His name was, it looked, Frank Bonaenema or something. It looked like it said Bonaenema is what it looked like it said.
Something to that effect. And, I in some of my research on this to clarify who some of these people were, I saw that about 2 years from this point, he had a massive heart attack and then died 10 days later. So he only had about two more years with Portland Wrestling before he was replaced by, who was the guy that, who was the other?
I can't remember. Fill us in on that. I'm not a Portland. I actually reached out to a Portland historian, Matt Farmer, on a couple of these guys before we started. Before we get deep into it, one of the commercials they broadcast was $697 for a video recorder. I wasn't able to see, but was that a Beta or did you notice?
I believe it was a LaserDisc, or at least one of the ones they showed.
One of them was a LaserDisc recorder, and one was something else, but $700. And I think that's around the same price that... that I paid for my first VCR. Well, I didn't pay, but my parents paid. They got it from Finger Hut. Finger Hut, as they say in the South. Finger Hut. Did you ever order anything from Finger Hut?
I actually got a PlayStation 3 from Finger Hut.
There you go.
Several years ago. My ex-wife ordered it.
Yeah, my daddy called it the poor man's way of buying good stuff. So that's pretty much what it was. You paid out the ass to get it, but you only had a payment. A small payment every week or every month. I also noticed it was a huge freaking crowd, and somebody was already trying to steal my gimmick, even though this was 1980. They had a I love Mom poster. I don't know if you noticed that, but that was part of my gimmick there. First match, Super Destroyer against our old buddy, Eric Embry.
Well, you know, at first I saw, I was like, oh, it's Eric Embry. And then they kept saying Eric Emery. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's not Eric Embry. And then I did some research and found out that it was, in fact, Eric Embry. The guy just couldn't say his name. And then I did a little more research to figure out who the Destroyer was. And apparently it was David Sierra, or better known as Fidel Sierra, the Cuban assassin. And, man, he was built much different in that time. Like, I never would have guessed that's who that was.
Yeah, I reached out to Matt to ask him because, you know, all I could think of was it Bill Irwin? Bill was a Super Destroyer for a while, and then I was trying to figure it out, and then he said, yeah. And he also had a gimmick called Top Gun at one time, too.
Yeah, that's true. Later on, yeah, he was Top Gun, and then the Assassin and Destroyer, and yeah, he run the gamut of the masked gimmicks in Portland.
Yeah, this match was, you know, a squash match, and there's a few funny things about it. The Destroyer kept doing the same move over and over, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing? Not good, not bad, but did you catch that it was actually a 10-minute time limit, and they called for the 1 minute twice?
Yeah, I did. I did catch that before I fell asleep the first time.
Well, they didn't go to the finish, and so the announcer announced again, 1 minute to go. And then when the match was over, they actually announced it as 11 minutes and so many seconds. I don't know, 12 seconds or something. I was like, wait, that was supposed to be a 10-minute time limit match. What the hell's going on there? They then had a little promo talking about the double ring battle royal coming up in Salem. Sandy Barr had no personality whatsoever.
None. Good Lord, none.
And he was part of Portland wrestling for years, and I just no excitement, no anything. They had Dutch Savage out there who, if I remember correctly, he was a big deal in Portland for before all of this, earlier, like in the early 70s, kind of like when Lawler and Briscoe was having their feud, Dutch Savage was doing stuff in Portland. But he had a lot of scar tissue. Did you see that?
I did. And did you catch his insurance commercial later in the
later no, in the I program? Did not. I did not catch his insurance. Oh, God.
Yeah, he's like, hey, this is Dutch Savage, and he's standing next to a car and like, sure, you figure a tough guy like me on the road doesn't worry about things like insurance, but I do, and I get my car insurance through blah, blah, blah. I was like, wow, Dutch Savage doing an insurance commercial. That's fun.
And he got to tell us that the midgets were coming to Salem. I was fired up. The midgets, baby.
And they mentioned that it was Lone Eagle, who I once tagged with on a Sammy Hall show back in my early days, so that was fun.
Oh, my God. Well, they had they have him later in the show, but Cowboy Lang, I think Cowboy Lang against Little Tokyo was one of the few actual midget matches that I seen in Blytheville, Arkansas live, and they were hilarious. I mean, it was and the midgets used to be a big deal, like an attraction, something that they brought just around, and it was entertaining, always was entertaining. The next match was up. We had Tiny Anderson, and I didn't know what the hell the announcer called him. I was lucky enough to be able to find a listing for this TV show. And the guy he was going against has a hell of a story. Siva Alpha. He called him Jimmy Alpha. And then Siva, and he didn't really know. I don't even know if he really knew what his name was.
Yeah, I noticed that because, I mean, I remembered him being CV Offie on WWF, you know, because infamously they tried to replace Jimmy Snuka with him when Snuka went away. And I had always just heard to him referred to as CV Offie. And I think they called him Coco Samoa, somewhere, was like Memphis or somewhere. But it's the first time I ever heard him called Jimmy Offie. So, yeah, that was interesting.
And it was. He does have because he was the Superfly when Snuka went to jail, or was they thought he was going to go to jail for killing somebody, allegedly. But they was going to replace him, and they were just going to call him Superfly. I think that was one of the silliest things that WWE ever done.
Oh, they won't notice, pal.
Yeah, they won't know us. He looks just like him. So here's the funny thing. We all know what happened with Snuka and the whole story about Snuka. This guy, whose real name, last name was Tyo Gaga. I'm going to pronounce it, Tyo Gaga. Wow. He was indicted for acting as the getaway driver in 1997 for a robbery, a kidnapping carried out in January of 1996. He was convicted of one count of...
He wasn't the getaway driver for Ranger Ross, was he?
That was it. That was it. He was a...
Are you serious?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. I don't know. I mean, it
How
was
How awesome
in,
would that be?
No, it wasn't a... It wasn't in Georgia.
Damn it.
He was sentenced to 15 to 40 years and following a series of appeals... They actually deported him back to Samoa after 10 years. They said,
I did not know that.
Yeah, crazy, just crazy. He won with like one of these lame bodies, disembodied splash. I thought he had a hell of a look. He looked like The Rock to me, like a young Rock.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely looked better here than by the time they were trying to use him in WWF. And when I saw him later on, he was a lot more impressive. In 1980 than he was a few years down the road.
They said, I also read that in 85, he actually wrestled Flair to a one-hour draw.
Jesus, I bet so that was tough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, think about it was Flair, by the way. So, you know, he can wrestle a broom. So, all right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial. We're going to be back, and we're going to answer, and you probably already know the answer to this, was it really that good? All right, back from commercial. We do thank our sponsors. Gene is going to do something really fun. He's been doing a podcast for, Gene, we pretty much started at the same time around 2008. He was doing Cheap Heat. I was doing Shooting the Shiznit. It was kind of together. And so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to bring your locals to legends and put it on the STS network. Be part of the STS brand. How's that sound? That sounds professional, doesn't it?
It does.
But tell us about locals to legends. And one reason I'm excited about this is that we notice when we do a Memphis in May, like I've done the last 2 years, the most popular people are not, you know, they're not Randy Hales. It's not Jeff Jarrett or Jerry Jarrett. It is the local guys like the Missouri Renegade, who was number one last time. The last year, Mark Southern, one of the Missouri Bad Boys. Local guys. So that tells me the Wrestling Ride audience that used to read Wrestling Ride online, and we had like 60,000 a month that came to the website, they're still there. And they want to hear from the locals, and I'm excited about bringing you guys on.
Yeah, that's something I discovered a long time ago. Because you know, when we first started doing this, and I first started doing Cheap Heat Radio, you know, back in like 07, 08, like you said, there weren't six wrestling podcasts in existence at the time, and you would be shocked at how easy it was to get people to agree to be a guest on the podcast. And so I actually, in the early days of the podcast, was able to get a lot of names and quote-unquote legends and different people to do the show. And the downloads were quite good because, again, there wasn't very many places to hear those. And so over time, quick little fun story on why the name of the podcast changed from Cheap Heat Radio. I tried to get Percy Pringle, Paul Bearer, William Moody, whichever, take your pick, which name you want to use, to be on the show, and he refused to do the show because it was called Cheap Heat Radio, and he didn't want to be involved in a podcast that used a quote-unquote insider term for the name. And so that was the biggest instance, but there were a couple other instances where people kind of questioned it and wasn't comfortable with it, so... I spent forever pondering, you know, what would the name be? And eventually I come up with Locals to Legends because that's kind of what I do, you know, from local guys to legends. And honestly, based on, you know, what you just said, it became a lot more locals than legends because at this point, there's 10,000 wrestling podcasts. Everybody who's ever set foot in a wrestling ring has done 10 shoot interviews. So there's really... there is really not a lot of new ground you're going to break with any quote-unquote legends at this point. But not everybody has got to hear what, you know, Mark Southern's, you know, career was, or Neil Taylor, or any number of people you could name. And so I find that those do the best, because, you know, this is an opportunity for people to hear their story and how they come through the business, and, you know, backstory on some things that happened over the years. So, and those are the interviews I tend to enjoy the most, because I don't know the answer a lot of times. I don't know what the story they're about to tell me. I ask them these questions because I want to know the answer. And most of the time with anybody else, you probably already know what they're going to tell you, because you've heard it 20 times yourself. So, we're going to be bringing that, you know, you know, a lot of people, over in your area, that I wouldn't necessarily have access to. And on the flip side of that, I know people over in this area that you don't necessarily know or have access to. So we're going to cover a pretty, wide range, a wide spectrum of people between the two of us on who we manage to get as guests moving forward.
And Lance, you know, Lance is doing the Chokehold podcast, and he gets people that he just wants to, usually hot women, but hey, just people that he is interested in. And that's the reason I came back with this, was it's one of those things where I just want to grab somebody, and that's what I always tell you, just grab somebody and talk to them that I don't know or I've known forever. But, you know, even with Force, we interviewed Force. He, you know, you would think Dutch Mantel. We brought Dutch Mantel on, okay? And it's probably because of what you just said. But the Missouri Renegade got 4 times the amount of downloads as Dutch Mantel. And so people like listening to something, like you said, they haven't heard the same stories over and over and over. And that's why I tried my best with the Dutch interview, but he did tell some stories I'd already heard before too. But you just try not to talk about the same things. But I'm excited because you'll do that area. I'll kind of have Jonesboro, Memphis area, and then Chicago is one of our top, is actually our top city when it comes to downloads. One of our top. It's number one, and then we got, you know, the Memphis area, and then so hopefully we'll bring some people through Mississippi and Alabama, and there's big plans in 2020 and 2021 for Shooting the Shiznit, so you'll hear more about that. But that's with me. I want to drive a distance. If I want to get in a car and do a show, say with you, somewhere in your area, I'll be able to do it. You know, one day drive. I might want to spend a night, but you know. I want to be able to do something like that. And Chicago is wide open for doing any kinds of shows and stuff. All right, guys, let's quit talking about that. We got some important stuff to talk about here. But, yeah, look out for that. It could be a show this month, early next month. It'll go right into the STS Speed. You'll be able to get it on your all podcast players. If you subscribe to Shooting the Shiznit, you'll get Gene's show now. So I'm excited about it. The Rose Army came out, and this was Buddy Rose, Rip Oliver, Super Destroyer, and the Cuban Cortez, right? That's not what they were calling Cuban Cortez?
The Cuban Fidel Cortez.
There we go.
And, yeah, and wow, it was a very interesting look for Buddy Rose. Took me a minute to realize that was him. And, the minute he opened his mouth and started talking, there was no question. But, yeah, not the Buddy Rose I grew up on.
So good, even so good on the microphone was starting out there. He had this little, it looked like a molester's mustache. Is what it looked like. A little, and then the hair was not bleached. He actually later on looked more like Rip Oliver. So, yeah. And I always liked Rip Oliver and Rose a lot. Cortez, I guess this is the first time I had ever watched him wrestle. Did you notice that he had a Fidel Castro head? That was Castro's head on
yes.
that pole.
Yes. yeah.
I couldn't believe that. And then Rip Oliver said, well, this Lightfoot and Youngblood, or what do they call themselves? I've never heard of an Indian army. I was like, oh, my God. So we have an 8-man tag, and you're thinking to yourself, this is going to be a clusterfuck. It actually was a pretty good match. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. It was Rose, Oliver, Destroyer, the Cuban against Jay Youngblood, Joe Lightfoot, Jonathan Boyd, and they called him Buzzsaw Kane, otherwise known as Buzz Sawyer.
I mean, who would imagine Buzz Sawyer and Lord Jonathan Boyd both rocking full heads of hair, no less, and as baby faces? It was the most bizarre thing. I mean, I had read about it. I knew that was, you know, something they had done, but boy, seeing it, you know, just it felt so strange. But they were over with the crowd. You know, Boyd came out a couple different times demanding his title match with Buddy Rose, and both times he got a good reaction from the crowd. But just so weird to see Jonathan Boyd with the long black hair and being a baby face. Just,
I know. Odd. I mean, he was young. You just and you know, he was just such a great heel, you know, when he did turn heel, and when he was in Memphis and everything. Man, the crowd, this was so weird. This was three falls, went to three falls, and it was almost, I think it was the last 45 minutes of TV, so we had an hour and a half television. The whole first fall, every bit of it, was babyface shine. Did you notice that? There was no heat whatsoever.
It was Portland's version of the expiration of time, I guess, for Memphis. Right. You know, a lot of times they would do that. They'd have the multiple falls, and the first one would just be, you know, just a straight babyface sweep, you know, and then they'd come back and get the heat in the second fall. Or sometimes they'd swap it around and do the opposite. But, yeah, like you said, it was just a babyface shine straight through on that one.
And the crowd was so hot for everything they were doing. Youngblood, this Lightfoot guy who I don't know I've ever seen him. Both of those guys, Youngblood was so smooth. He was just really, really good. And Lightfoot was too. He was real solid. And he took, they won with a, what did they, oh, Buzz Sawyer did the power slam, right, for the win on the first fall. They started heat on Lightfoot, and he took a lot of heat in that second fall. Then they got a Destroyer jumped and did a flying body press, is what they called it. I guess it was a that's what it was from the top rope, and he pinned Lightfoot. Jay Youngblood was, to me, I was a huge Jay Youngblood fan when he was with Ricky Steamboat, but he just so good. Just good-looking guy, damn good in the ring, but God, was he horrible on the microphone or what?
Yeah. You know, because he was kind of before my time, so anything I've seen of him has just been, you know, retroactively in the last 10 years or so, and I always heard how awesome he was, and he was in the ring, the matches I saw, but yeah, anytime I've ever seen him anywhere close to a microphone, it's like, oh God, get that microphone away from him, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. You look at him and you say, man, this is money, babyface, money. Mm-hmm. This is all this is. But he was talking about the two-ring battle royal, and he said, this was earlier, and he said, those are brutal. Y'all got to be there. And I'm thinking to myself, brutal as in horrible to watch? Because two-ring battle royals, there's nothing dangerous about those. But he acted like it was a dangerous match, and I was just like, oh, my God. But just awesome. I mean, he really it showed how good he was even at this age, you know. They started right back, and I want to ask you something. Is this – I don't ever remember this being the rule, but as I was looking at it, I thought it was a hell of a rule with tag teaming. So if you do a 2 out of 3 falls match, does the person that was taking the heat and getting his ass whipped so much in the second fall, does he have to start the third fall?
I've never known that to be a rule in any other 2 out of 3 falls match I've ever seen, but I did notice that they did that, and I thought, well, you know, that's kind of makes sense. But I hadn't ever seen it done anywhere else. Like I say, not even on Memphis where they did the expiration matches or any of those. It's usually just picks back up with whomever. But, yeah, that was interesting.
I did, too. I thought that was – I was just like, that's the coolest thing I think I've ever seen because they started right back with the heat. They made a point to say in an announcing, you know, he's you know, taking an ass whipping again. I exactly said that. I did a hot tag to Youngblood, but, man, they cut Youngblood off real quick and started heat on him. which was setting up for the finish. Oliver hit the Cuban on mistake, and the babyfaces won. Rip Oliver hit him, and then the Army got mad at the Cuban.
And then the Cuban, who's busted open, cuts a promo, which was made Jay Youngblood look like The Rock, but you know, he's a Cuban, so you ain't expecting to get out there and be eloquent in his promo. But he swore revenge.
Yeah, nothing was going to stop him. I actually liked his crazy interview. It was horrible, but I liked it. He was just he was full of blood all on his face, so that's what I like. Here, Rip Oliver said, "Hey, Tuesday night he's going to finish off the Cuban, and he was going to send him off on that little boat." That's what he said.
That is what he said.
On the little boat. What the fuck? Where did he get that at? All right,
I guess
Gene.
He rode here.
Gene, we got, and just if you guys heard what I just heard, I guess I'm going to, we recorded this on Wednesday night, and I heard fireworks. So, Gene, I think the Blues won. Yay!
Well, thank goodness I'll sleep tonight.
I was going to go to, you know, I'm not a hockey fan, but I was going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Why not? Tickets were about $700, so I said, fuck off. That's pretty much what I said. So, yeah. All right, Gene, I got to ask you, was it really that good?
I feel bad because, like, I didn't enjoy it, but I'm sure at the time people thought it was awesome, and I'm sure there's Portland wrestling fans that can look back at it now and say, yeah, but I'm just more of a Memphis, you know, Mid-South, Continental type guy. It wasn't my cup of tea.
I love the 8-man tag. Had a lot of talent in it. I think I have a crush on Jay Youngblood now. So that was one of the things. Overall, it was just like it, you know, me and Lance had talked about this, and we have talked about it a bunch. Lance is one of the first times he ever watched a 90-minute Memphis show was last month, which is crazy, you know, just the thought of that.
Hurts my soul.
Yeah, I know, me too. But he said, it's just like it's a commercial. Well, that's all it was back then. But they had all their top talent that was going to be on Tuesday night, actually in the 45 minutes, which I thought was fun. But no, guys, I can see where it can be fondly remembered, but this really wasn't a great show. Some good talent there and some guys that ended up being fantastic workers and fun to watch down the years. Also, for the record, you took Lance's spot last month. He took your spot. You had double the downloads that he did. Just saying. Lance claims that people just thought he was on it. So, I mean, that's possible. Mm.
And well, I'm a draw, finally. I finally found something I draw at. Thank
all
God.
All right, guys. We're going to get off here, but I'm going to tease something, all right? So next week, Gene, I know you heard a little bit about this. I know you're excited about it. But next week, I will be sitting in the studio with Memphis Monroe.
Oh, yeah, so I heard.
I know
you don't know what you're getting yourself into. I mean, this guy, he's a real prick, I'm telling you.
He's not just a superstar, is he? He's a megastar.
Oh, he's a megastar, and he'll remind you too. You know that he's not one of these lowbrow superstars. He's a freaking megastar. And
I'm excited.
Everything. He's done everything in wrestling. He was pretty much there for everything important that's ever happened, apparently. But I'll let him tell you all about it. I may send you some notes so you can kind of be aware of what's coming.
I'm excited. Another teaser part of this, since it's been so popular again this year with the Montreal Screwjob, guys, Memphis Monroe, well, he was a big part of that. So we will talk about that coming next week. All right, remember, same bad time, same bad channel on the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there. And as everyone knows, I love my mama. Thank you, Gene.